Father Mike, what are you doing at Zach Wild?
Beautiful, man. I appreciate the time, especially on what should be a holiday, the day after the big game. Man, one day, hopefully, it'll become a national holiday, and certainly a good game there at the end. It started off kind of soft there, but got good at the end, and some overtime action and little bonus football there at the end. I imagine you watched the game, right?
I'm just concerned whether, you know, Taylor Swift was going to make it. There was like talk, and she's not going to make it. Is she going to make it? She's not going to make it. She's going to, and then she showed up. It was like, I was done there. I mean, that's all I needed to say.
I wish I would have taken the over on one of those prop bets about how many times that they were going to, you know, cut the camera to her throughout the game.
Oh, you can't make it up, man. No, but the game was incredible, man. Yeah, we were all, you know, the whole Pantera camp, we all got together, and the Lamb of God fellas. So everybody was, we're all just watching the game over at the hotel. So it was great.
You know, speaking of the Super Bowl, I guess in the music world, you've kind of created your own with this Berserkus Fest. Talk to me about this going on in the Poconos Saturday, September 14th. Killer lineup that you put together for it. BLS finally playing a show in 2024, plus Cody Jinks, Clutch, Rival Sons, Blackstone Cherry, some cover bands on there, Zoso, Atomic Punks, and the Iron Maidens. Really cool lineup.
Yeah, without a doubt. So I just rounded up a whole bunch of my friends and just, it's the Berserkus Festivus Miracle Feats of Strength and Airing of the Grievances. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it, man, for sure.
How long have you been dreaming about this? How long has it taken this thing to actually come to fruition? When did it start in your mind of wanting to do this?
I've been thinking about it for a while. So I've been, you know, mowing lawns, cleaning pools and things like that, so I could save up enough money to pay all the rest of my friends to be able to play at the thing. So, yeah, this has been going on for a while, man. I've been thinking about it without a doubt for a while. So, I mean, we got all types of stuff going on, you know, barbecue stuff. We got, you know, like you said, the feats of strength, the airing of the grievances, and there's a whole bunch of things going on aside of, you know, all my buddies playing. But yeah, it's gonna be a great time, man, for sure.
I was surprised though to see in the ad mat though for the show that it looks like Cody Jinks is closing it out. I'm shocked BLS isn't closing, or is that because you wanted to sit side stage and watch Cody play?
We want to watch Cody kick some ass, and then also I'm going to be barbecuing as well. So, you know, I have to get back to my cooking duties and things like that while Cody's whooping ass. So, like you said, I mean, it's going to be a great time. And then also we have, you know, Zach Savitt's going to be playing on, all my buddies from Zoso and all the other bands that are playing on the thing. So, like you said, it's I'm looking forward to, aside of just watching everybody kick some ass, just hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, craft beers, strongman, like you said, even a Miss Berserkus contest and crowning. I was shocked, though, man, with the Ultimate Warrior doing your stage intros basically for you every night. I was shocked that there was no wrestling angle to this thing.
Well, there's still some time. So we just saw Father Jericho not too long ago. He just came out for the, Chris was over there at the Nashville show. So, yeah, there's still some time for some wrestling, so we could throw some of that in as well.
And it's really going to be the 25th anniversary of Black Label Society since the first album, Sonic Brew. Are you going to be leaning more into that, or is it just going to be kind of a normal set?
I mean, at this point, we're going to be the 25th anniversary. I mean, it's just, I can't even believe it's 25th anniversary. So, but no, without a doubt. I mean, it just seemed like just a blink of an eye, we were doing the 20th anniversary for the Sonic Brew thing. So, you know, I remember we went out and we were playing like the whole record, so, you know, like in its entirety kind of thing. So I mean, I can't believe that was already 5 years ago, but yeah, time's flying, that's for sure. But no, we'll definitely be throwing some of that in the set for sure.
And, you know, looking backwards, looking forward to as well, I mean, Doom Crew Inc. was great, and a few years ago now we got some new BLS coming. I mean, certainly you've been busy, but I imagine you got some riffs together.
Yeah, without a doubt. We actually tracked some stuff like in between, you know, in between the Pantera celebration, then, you know, the Zach Sabbath run we just did, and then obviously putting the Berserkus together, then cleaning the dog run, doing dishes, laundry, Yeah, no, we were definitely up at the Black Vatican for a little bit, and we tracked some stuff. So definitely I've written a whole bunch of stuff more since we already tracked some stuff. So we can just track some more stuff when we get back after this, after, you know, the Pantera break, I guess, when we get done at the end of the month. Because I think we're doing the Garden, Madison Square Garden, like on the 22nd or 23rd, and then the 27th we actually wrap up this leg of the Pantera celebration.
Love it, man. And you know, speaking of the going back to the festival for 1 second, obviously so many years of doing the Ozfest, and curious if that was kind of your inspiration for doing the Berserkus, and if any of those Ozfest lineups stood out to you or 1 year more than the other, or were they all kind of just a blur because it was back in the drinking days?
No, it was always a blast. I mean, like, even with Black Label during the Berserkin years, and then it was like after we got done playing, if we were playing earlier in the day, you know, because obviously the drivers, they got to get their sleep, so the whole thing is we wouldn't be leaving the grounds till 1 o'clock in the morning, 1, 2 in the morning or whatever. So like, let's say if we got done playing early in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd be barbecuing the whole time. So, like, you know, like every day, it was really a blast. So, I mean, the whole thing is, the Ozfest, every one of them were crushing. Yeah, I mean, how could it be a bad time? You're hanging out with your friends, you get the jam, you're cooking, you're hanging out. And I mean, that was during the, like I said, the berserking years.
Yeah.
So, and we always made sure we had a spare liver and pancreas and kidneys on ice. But it was just tons of laughs, man. It was a great time.
Man, I miss those touring festivals like the Ozfest. Hopefully the Berserkus could turn into that one day, because we need another touring hard rock metal festival out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, I mean, you know, once obviously this will be the first installment of the Berserkus. So, we'll kick this off, and then eventually it'd be great to bring the tour actually on the road, kind of like the Ozfest kind of thing.
Yeah, especially with that lineup that you put together, a sick lineup. And talking of touring, like you had mentioned, out there on the road right now with Pantera and Lamb of God, and man, what a great package. I always kind of felt like Lamb of God was like the Pantera for the 2000s.
Yeah, totally, without a doubt. The guys, and they're all great guys, so we've been friends with the fellas for years. So, I mean, I've known them with, you know, Black Label, and then just touring throughout, you know, just doing festivals and everything like that, because they were always on Ozfest and things like that. So,
sure.
It's great seeing the guys. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole camp, I mean, their camp and the Pantera camp and everybody gets along great. So we're just having a blast while we're out here, man, for sure.
And great to see that you guys recently started playing Floods, adding Floods into the set, and hoping there's going to be some more mixing up of the set as time goes on.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? So it's just, when we took this break, you know, before we came back out, it was just like the guys were like, you guys want to throw anything new in the set? And then that's when Floods came up. So, you know, everybody just does their homework. You sit down and you learn it, and then we get together, we jam, and then it's in the show.
You know, curious about the homework part of things, and I mean, obviously you've done it a lot over the years, but when you do your homework, are you watching like a live video, or are you listening to the album? How do you do your homework for researching a song like that?
Well, no, it's a combination of both. I mean, back in the day, obviously, you know, when you had vinyl and everything, you know, when I was 15, 16 years old, we were all learning. Obviously, you had to. There was no internet, so you couldn't go on and see how somebody was playing if you wanted to learn Eruption or, you know, how to play the solo to Crazy Train or Over the Mountain or anything like that, you know, or Purple Haze or anything. So either, you know, you'd have to sit with the records and play by ear, you know what I mean? But unless you're, you know, taking lessons, my guitar teacher, Leroy Wright, he would be great at, like, showing me. I remember the first leg, it was like a breakthrough thing when I learned how to play Back in Black, you know, but that was from somebody that knew how to play, you know what I mean? So, but I think, you know, I mean, eventually, obviously, I mean, it's great with YouTube now for kids. I'm just saying, it's like having a guitar teacher, you know, so you could just sit there and you could learn a thing. So if I get stuck on anything, I'll just Google up floods, or I'd have to, you know, Google up anything. I mean, whatever Pantera song or anything by Dime that, you know, I had to learn. It was just, and it's great because you know, obviously instead of spending 2 hours sitting there trying to figure it out, somebody's already just shows it to you, right? You know, how to do a wheelie on your BMX bike. You know what I mean? You got to hit the brake, you got to lean back. It's, oh, okay, you know. I mean, eventually anybody's, you know, I'm going to learn how to use a stick shift, but if you can show me, like, Zach, before we go through three transmissions, let me show you how to do this.
Right. And, you know, I'm curious,
same principle.
Curious too, man, if it's all done through labels or management and all that stuff, but take me back to getting that phone call for doing the Pantera gig. Was it Rex and Phil on the phone with you, or is that managers that talk and do all that stuff?
Yeah, just, you know, because we're all friends. So, you know, Phil and Rex are, you know, I've been buddies with the guys forever. And, you know, there's always been talks of this going around, even, you know, when Father Vinny was rolling and you know, before Vinny passed away. So it was talks about it. I just always told the guys, it's just kind of like with Eric Clapton, if Mitch and Noel ever asked Eric, who had laid, you know, if he laid Jimmy to rest, it's just like, we're going to go out and honor Jimmy. Do you want to sing and play Jimmy's stuff? Of course, Eric Clapton would do it. It's just like, we're all friends and you know, I love Dime. So, I mean, it's just whatever you guys, if you want me to come out and honor Dime, like, if, you know, like the Jimi Hendrix experience, you know, how we experience Hendrix, everybody goes out and honors Jimmy. And then, you know, with Ozzy, we play St. Rhodes' stuff. Well, you know, when every time we break into Crazy Train and we break into I Don't Know or Mr. Crowley, right, we're all honoring Randy. So
sure,
to me, it's a beautiful thing. It's the same thing. So, you know, I just told the fellas, if you ever wanted to do it, of course, I'll be there for you. So.
And they made that phone call. Clearly, it's worked out great. I got to see you guys at SoFi Stadium last year. And curious, man, is there any tune in particular that you look forward to playing in the Pantera set? Anything that gets you excited to play?
No, it's just kind of like with Ozzy. It's just, as soon as we get up there, the whole thing. I love every one of the songs. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's great from beginning to end, man. The first note to the last note.
I love it, man. Like I mentioned, I got to see you guys at SoFi Stadium, you know, opening up for Metallica last year. And I think that was like the most tickets sold for one concert ever at SoFi Stadium. And curious for you, how was it playing on that big stage? It looks like a racetrack from above, but being all spread out from the rest of the guys in the band and everything. And I know you got some more Metallica dates later this year.
No, it's definitely different. I mean, for sure. I mean, well, you know, you have in-ears and everything like that because there's no amps anywhere to be found up on that stage. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, you know, if you don't have in-ears, I mean, the drums, Charlie's halfway across the stadium over there. So, you know, they sound like cardboard boxes when you're up there on stage if you didn't have the in-ears in, you know what I mean? So, because my cabinets are like just two ISO cabs. So I wouldn't even be able to hear them anyway because they're isolated in a box with a with a microphone in front of the speaker. So, so Eddie up front mixing, he can get a clear signal right of the speaker. So, yeah, without the in-ears, forget about it, man. It's just like I'd have to go by what the PA's doing, you know. So, you know, and then you have the delay and everything like that up there. So, no, it's definitely pretty funny, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you ask any musician, whether I'm playing, I've done gigs where I've played in people's kitchens, I've played in the basement, we've done keg parties in backyards. I'm saying when you first start playing.
Sure.
Until now we're playing in SoFi Stadium and, you know, in front of, you know, you're playing in front of 10 people, now you're playing in front of, you know, 100,000 people or whatever it is. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you're still playing, the song is still the same. You know, whatever song it is that you're playing, whether I was playing, you know, NIB by Sabbath when I was 16 years old in front of 8 people, and whether I'm playing in front of 80,000 or 100,000 people, you're still playing the same song. You know, it's a song you got to remember. So that's that.
Well, last thing I got for you, Zach, because we're an old school radio station. We do a feature called Mandatory Metallica, and I've been having some fun with this little Metallica debate I wanted to get your opinion on. Kind of debating the greatest Metallica album ever, the greatest studio album ever, and it kind of boils down to, at least for me, Ride the Lightning versus Master of Puppets. If you had to pick one out of those two, which one would it be for you?
Well, no, you know, like we always say, well, here you go. Here's a good one that Steve I, you know, Father Steve always says. He goes, Zach, there is no such thing as your, if there is no such thing as the best, it's what's your favorite.
Okay, what's your
and
favorite?
It could be currently, well, yeah, it could be what is your favorite at the moment.
Sure.
So, I mean, you could even boil it down to that. I mean, whether it's Metallica or Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath or Elton John, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, for me, I know a lot of people freak out on the Black Album, but I mean, that thing is just like from top to bottom. I mean, the production, the performances, the everything on that thing is just beyond stellar. But I mean, I guess obviously the earlier Metallica, I guess there's a lot of people dig, you know, I would love both those records, but I guess, because whatever mood you're in. So I guess, you know, I guess let's just go Ride the Lightning for now. Just because it reminds me of Dime, you know, with his Dime bolt guitar and everything like that.
Ah,
so we'll go with Ride the Lightning.
Beautiful. So Ride wins the debate as of today, at least.
Yeah, I guess. So by dinner time, you might shift over to the other album. You know what I mean?
Lastly, just to put a button on it, do you have a favorite Metallica tune we can play for you on Mandatory Metallica?
Actually, Nothing Else Matters. I love that one. That's just a great mellow tune.
Wow, the ballad. I wouldn't expect that out of Zach Wilde, the ballad. But okay, we'll rock that one for you, Zach.
You got it, my brother.
Beautiful, Zach. Thank you so much for the time. Honored to talk to you, and best of luck out there on the road, man.
I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you in a bit, Father Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye, my brother.